And welcome to the Rooted in Reliability podcast, your plant performance podcast, where we dive deeper into asset management techniques and know-how. I'm your host, James Kovacevic, and I will be your guide to achieving industry best practice. The Rooted in Reliability podcast is here to provide you with the insights to improve plant performance and deliver bottom line results to your organization. In case you missed the last episode, you can find the Rooted in Reliability podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, and on the reliability.fm network. Don't forget to subscribe so you'll never miss an episode. Now let's dive into today's topic. It is my pleasure to welcome Simon Jagers to the podcast. Welcome, Simon.
Thank you, James.
So, Simon, it's a pleasure to have you on. And for those that may not be familiar with you, you're one of the founders of Semiotic Labs. You know, Semiotic Labs is focused on combining IoT sensors, machine learning algorithms to develop practical condition monitoring tools, specifically more so on the motor or electric motor area. Now, you're also a board member of World Class Maintenance Foundation and a few other things. That was a very brief introduction, but can you provide some background to all that?
Sure. Yeah, and first of all, thank you very much for the opportunity to speak to you. At Semiotic Labs, we focus on creating practical tools for the age of the Internet of Things that monitor critical AC motors and rotating equipment such as pumps, compressors, and conveyors. And I suppose our overarching goal is to eliminate unplanned downtime. And I think the way we look at the problem of downtime is that we're looking towards technology to provide humans with the tools to work efficiently, safely, and do their jobs better. So in that sense, we're all about creating tools that help you in your day-to-day job to do it better, safer, and faster.
Excellent. And what we're here to talk about today is remote motor monitoring. Essentially, how do we monitor all these electric motors remotely? How do we make sure that, you know, one of the most popular types of assets that any industry has is running properly? So with that, how long have you been involved with electrical motors and monitoring of motors?
We started in 2015 with a very simple idea, which is there's a lot of data coming from motors and from machines in general. And we thought, well, if we could, you know, take that data and apply our trade, which is machine learning or artificial intelligence development, against that data, we could predict their failure. What we found early on, though, is that yes, there is a lot of data coming from these machines, but that data doesn't always hold value. So that's why we decided to build this end-to-end solution based on sensors and AI and a dashboard to monitor these motors in real time and predict their failure. So short answer, 2015.
All right, excellent. Now, there are many traditional ways to monitor electrical motors. What are some of those ways that your solution will make safer, more efficient, faster?
Well, by and large, motors are monitored via vibration sensors. So you would either have a person or a specialist using mobile vibration sensors and make the rounds, so once a month or more often for critical machines and less often for less critical machines. The other way is via online vibration-based monitoring, where you would attach a sensor permanently to the motor in question, and you know, get the data from the field into your analysis application. So I think that covers, you know, around 95% or so. The rest is probably using technologies such as oil analysis, ultrasound, those type of things, and above all, perhaps common sense.
All right, excellent. And I know one of the other things that motors are monitored with is motor current signature analysis.
That's right.
That usually involves, you know, a portable unit, something that's not online and continuous. You know, you got to connect the motor to it. There's lots of stuff that goes on with that. What are some disadvantages to that traditional motor current signature analysis?
MCSA has been around since about the 70s or so, but it involves quite a bit of compute, and it's fairly difficult to do well because it's a very noisy signal. So you first have to deal with those type of issues, right? So from our perspective, you want to do monitoring online as much as possible because several failure mechanisms can manifest in a short amount of time. So that means that you have to first build a hardware set that can deliver, you know, high density or high quality data in an online fashion. That data, as said, is fairly noisy, so you have to deal with that as well. And when you look at what we can actually achieve is, for instance, when it comes to bearing damage on the motor that can manifest on the front or on the back bearing, we will not be able to tell you which specific bearing is failing because of the way the technology works. So essentially, and maybe it makes sense if I briefly touch on that. Is that okay for you, James?
Yes, absolutely.
So what actually happens if let's say you have a low voltage motor and a pump, and the pump is pumping water or oil or what have you not. When that pump starts to cavitate, when there's overpressure in fluid, it will introduce implosions in the fluid, and those implosions will eventually eat away your pump, so to speak, and they produce a typical vibration in the pump that is markedly different from that pump operating in normal circumstances. Now, that vibration travels from the axle of the pump through the coupling to the axle of the motor. At the motor, the vibration disturbs the air gap that sits between the static part and the rotating part of the motor. And when you disturb that air gap, you introduce wrinkles on your sine waves. And those wrinkles, by measuring them at high granularities and by analyzing them, that's what gives us the information that that there is, in fact, an issue. And because of the fact that vibrations caused by cavitation are markedly different than vibrations caused by a misalignment or soft foot or bearing failures, that allows us to make a distinction between the specific failure mechanism at play. But what it also is that you measure via sort of a singular viewpoint, which is the disturbance of the air gap. So when there's an issue with your front or back bearing, we will detect it's a bearing issue, but it's unlikely that we will be able to tell you which one it specifically is. And that is possible with more traditional vibration-based technologies if you have a sensor close to that specific bearing.
All right, excellent. Now, with all of that said, the vibration, the ultrasound, the motor current signature analysis, what technology do we have available to us to monitor electrical motors in real time, but not thinking vibration, thinking more on the electrical side, like you just kind of mentioned?
Yeah, I think it's MCSA, and there's another term for it that focuses more on the voltage analysis, MBVI. So those two are growing rapidly. There's ultrasound, and sound in general is an interesting field as well, because, you know, failures introduce vibrations, and sound is a vibration, obviously. But there's more and more oil analysis done online. So in general, given the rising cost of downtime and the shortage of technical staff, I think there's a lot more interest in online condition monitoring. But I would firmly bet my money on MCSA to be the winner, simply because it's the only method that really allows you to monitor your asset at a distance from the motor control cabinet. And MCSA or MBVI or the combination does not install sensors on your asset in the field. And in many cases, that is, you know, just a very interesting proposition. I think in the steel industry, if a conveyor moves plates of hot steel from A to B, you can install a vibration sensor on that conveyor, but it will burn after a couple of weeks or months. Think of underwater pumps, those type of assets. that is where it's really interesting to work with remote condition monitoring, such as provided by MCSA technologies. And those type of that kind of distance between your sensor and your asset is simply not possible with alternatives. You can get some distance with sound, but not to the extent that it addresses the issue of harsh conditions, harsh environments, and so on.
All right. So what are some of the safety advantages then to this online MCSA solution?
Well, safety comes into play when installing the kit. So an MCC is easy to reach. It's in conditioned environment, so it's a fairly simple process. I think by and large, what it allows you to do is also monitor those type of assets that are very hard to reach, that operate in harsh environments and hard to reach places. So by simply doing away with the standard once every month, once every quarter, we'll make the rounds type of maintenance regime, you eliminate all these necessary verifications of the fact that your motor is in fact running smoothly. And that's something the sensor will do for you at a distance. So in that sense, you kind of de-risk the condition monitoring for your colleagues.
All right, excellent. So these sensors are mounted within the cabinet, so generally easier to access climate-controlled areas, generally, those sorts of things. What's involved in setting these up in the cabinets then? Is it just, you know, like a current clamp, you wrap a conductor around the sensor? Or what are we actually doing when we install these?
It's fairly straightforward. So it's three current, three voltage sensors. There are several options for the voltage measurement, how you connect them to the frequency drive or to the motor itself or to where it gets its power. You hook it, the sensors go into a data acquisition device. The data acquisition device, a couple of them feed into a communication device, and then you're good to go. It starts to collect data. For us, it means that we typically take 2 to 4 weeks to learn the specific pattern for individual machines. So in those sort of that learning phase, you are protected against failures, but there will be some lag because it's still sort of, you know, assessing what is normal for this individual machine. But after that training period, it's good to go. And typically installations take between 30 and 60 minutes per asset. That's about it. Yeah.
All right. So 30 to 60 minutes to install these in the cabinet, a couple of weeks to set the baseline for the algorithms to learn the asset. Now, what type of applications are these sensors being used on? Is it just large pumps, large motors? Where are you seeing these used?
I think still the business case is usually leading. So it tends to be implemented on those assets that have higher costs of failure associated with them or high health, safety, or environmental risks associated with them. It is implemented across a wide variety of assets, but just typically pumps, you know, conveyors, compressors, fans, and blowers. And I think what you tend to see is that there's more and more the understanding that you shouldn't focus on, for instance, very large or very small motors per se. It's more around what does this motor cost me or this pump cost me when it's down, and there's obviously a fairly strong correlation. Typically, larger motors have more downtime costs associated with them than smaller ones. You know, just replacing them can be a day or even more, whereas a small one, you can do it in 2, 3, 4 hours. So obviously there is a strong correlation between the motor size and you know, the sort of the appetite for monitoring. But by and large, what is considered first and foremost is what does this asset cost me when it goes down unplanned?
This podcast is brought to you by Iridicio. Be sure to check out Iridicio's IBL Blended Learning for Maintenance and Reliability Professionals. This SMRP-accredited project-based curriculum will take you through all aspects of a maintenance and reliability program and provides you with all the tools you need to generate a 30 times return on investment for your organization and a set of credentials from the University of Tennessee for you. You can find out more at ibltraining.com. Now, once the sensors have gone in, the algorithms have learned the baseline, established what's normal with this asset, what is the end user getting? Are they just getting reports that they have to be trained in motor current signature analysis to read? What are they getting as an output of this?
We offer actionable information about the condition, the performance, and energy consumption. And by that, I mean, we will send a message that says, for instance, we've detected imbalance caused by a failing coupling. So our advice is to inspect the coupling. And often we also assign sort of an urgency level. So we'll say, well, do it as soon as possible, or do it within the next 2 to 4 weeks. So basically, it's in that sense, it's almost prescriptive maintenance. It's a trigger that says, this is what we found, this is the cause, and this is the time to respond, so to speak. When you look at current and voltage, has a lot of information about running hours, start stops, energy consumption, motor efficiency. All those type of things are available in an online dashboard too. So in that sense, it is an end-to-end solution. There's no need for our clients or for users to analyze the data themselves. However, they can use that data to enrich other applications and so on. That's done quite regularly, in fact.
All right, excellent. Now, where does one start to implement this? Do they just get the idea they want to monitor motors, or where do organizations typically start in this journey?
Typically, right after a catastrophic failure of large proportions, right? So that tends to be that's a good trigger, so to speak. But we're seeing a lot of interest from maintenance people and from operations teams as well. And also from, you know, the digitization craze is going on as well. And I have a bit of a personal beef with that, because I think digitization seems to be a goal in and of itself, which I don't buy into. I mean, I've never seen an application fix a pump or an algorithm replace a broken bearing, right? So I think it is... To us, it really is about talking to the guys from operations or the girls, and talking to the people from the maintenance teams. And they're by and large keen to work with new technology. Obviously, that's to most people that has some novelty element in it, but they're really just looking for practical solutions to fix a big problem. And that is, failure is expensive. It's very hard to find new colleagues. You know, young people nowadays, they want to learn how to code an iPhone app, not how to learn a trade. So it really is around, you know, doing your job better and better every day. And you know, we're just very pleased to be part of that.
All right. Excellent. Now, what considerations must one think about when looking to implement this online monitoring solution? Is there IT infrastructure they have to worry about? Is there a change management piece with people they got to worry about? What do they got to consider?
Well, I think from a technology perspective, for our solution, all we need is a connection to the platform. So that will be 4G, cabled or wired internet, or Wi-Fi, and then we're good to go. Because it's, you know, all the compute is part of the system and so on. So as long as we have a connection to the platform, there's the only other consideration is you have to be able to physically install the sensors. So you need a bit of space in your motor control cabinet, and you need to be able to attach the clamps to the wires and so on. I think the biggest change is in the culture, right? Because most of our clients are still doing either just break fix maintenance or corrective maintenance. And most of them also are applying, you know, time-based maintenance. And that is so ingrained in these organizations that the shift from sort of calendar-based maintenance to data-driven, where you really look at the big important question, which is maintenance necessary for this individual system? That is a new way of working, and it does require more flexibility from teams, because it's no longer, third Friday of the month, let's do all the fans. It's, well, which fans require attention? And if none of them do, then, let's do something else that's valuable for my organization. So in that sense, it does require, as any sort of condition-based maintenance initiative, I think the culture change is more important almost than the technology that's underlying those new types of maintenance regimes.
Yeah, I hear that time and time again from all kinds of organizations, whether they're in the IoT space, whether they're in, the CMMS space, whether they're in, regardless of what it is. If you don't do that culture change, it's likely not to be that successful. That's the hardest part of a lot of this stuff.
Well, I have a riff about that, and I think I stole it from one of your earlier podcasts, so thanks for that, and I'll share credit moving forward.
Now, what is the one thing you think makes the biggest difference in being successful with this implementation? Is it the culture change? Is it anything else? What is that one thing?
We need to earn the trust of our users day in, day out, and keep doing that. I mean, it isn't for us. It's new technology brought to our clients by a young firm in a somewhat, let's say, cautious industry, right? I mean, that's what it is, and I think we have a very high success rate in detecting failures. We're now at 92%. But we need to do that consistently. So ultimately, our goal, or one of our goals, is that people start to trust technology and really rely on it for their day-to-day operations. But I also readily acknowledge that any technology will have to earn that trust. And once that trust is there, I think you'll see those cultural shifts where people will start to trust or take data-driven decisions around maintenance, resource allocation, and so on. But, so in summary, we need to earn the trust of our users day in, day out, so they feel confident that they can actually make that cultural change.
All right, excellent. Now, we've talked a lot about electrical motor monitoring today, but what is the one action you want our listeners to take away from this conversation today on electrical motor monitoring?
Well, I think MCSA or electrical waveform analysis to detect failures in both your motor and your driven assets, such as pumps and compressors and conveyors, it really now is at a level that it's ready for scale. It is being used at scale. And when you look at some of the fundamental benefits of MCSA in general as a technology, it installs inside the motor control cabinet, which is arguably the best environment for sensitive sensor systems in an industrial environment. I mean, it's a conditioned space. It sits outside of the harsh conditions that you have on your shop floor. It sits outside of the EX or ATEX zone. So it's easy to install. It's a very robust sensor network. And it detects over 90% of failures up to 4 months in advance. So I think this really opens up a paradigm shift almost in condition monitoring for these critical machines. And I think, there's the condition monitoring part. What I hope your listeners will also look at is more of the sustainability angle, because there's so much energy is being wasted by AC motors in the industry, because it, up until now, it's been very hard to really assess what that waste is. All that information is in current and voltage signals. So I'm very excited to continually work not only on improving operational reliability and doing that well, but also doing good for the environment by flagging inefficiencies and by signaling opportunities to really save on energy. And I think that latter part, that energy consumption savings, that is something that deserves more attention, I suppose, than I see it getting across the globe. Because, you know, these AC motors, they power the world industry. So in that sense, they're one of the most important elements that is often overlooked by us on a day-to-day basis. But they also consume up to 40% of all global electricity. And I think as a next frontier, I think that's a very interesting field. First, get your stuff in order, which means my machine must work, and that's condition monitoring. But energy monitoring really is the next frontier, and I'm very excited to talk to your listeners about that. So if they're interested in learning more around that, I'm happy to talk to them.
Excellent. Now, with that, and people reaching out to you and talking to you, where can people find out more about you? Where can they get in touch with you? Where can they find Semiotic Labs? Where can they find all that stuff?
Well, we're online at www.semioticlabs.com. That's SEMIOTICLABS.com, Semiotic Labs. Myself, I'm on LinkedIn, and we have a nascent Twitter account, so please do reach out to that, at Semiotic Labs, and we're likely to respond to Twitter within a month or two.
Excellent. Now, Simon, I definitely want to explore that energy efficiency piece with you in the future. I think I want to drag you back on for another show at some point to talk about that piece, because I think that is a huge untapped opportunity for not only to reduce the impact we have on the environment, but also for organizations to have an impact on their bottom line.
Yeah.
If they can reduce that overhead cost, that's a win across the board.
Agreed. Yes, I fundamentally agreed. And shout out to our partner Nouveon and Vopak, who are working with us on developing these large scale test facilities and development facilities specifically for that purpose.
All right. Excellent. Now, one last thing before you go. What are your favorite resources for this topic? What are those things that you want to read, you use to learn more about either electrical motor monitoring, maintenance reliability? What are your favorite resources?
Your podcast, obviously. That goes without saying. I've been a fan for quite a while, and it's the reason I reached out to you earlier and we got to talk around this topic. I think for me, several podcasts are interesting. I think but LinkedIn is also, there's a couple of groups there that around condition monitoring that has some fairly lively debates around this topic. And increasingly, Twitter especially the more innovative colleagues are quite active on Twitter. So I think the standard stuff, IEEE has a lot of papers. ResearchGate has a wealth of papers around electrical monitoring and so on. And ultimately, Google is your best friend, I suppose.
All right, excellent. I will make sure to put links to IEEE. NVDO that you mentioned, those sorts of things. That way people can find out what's going on. ResearchGate.
Yeah.
Also, Google has a search feature where you can search technical papers.
Yes, exactly.
Oh, I can't remember what it is. I'm drawing a blank right now. It's like Google Academic or something.
Yeah, or Scholar. Wasn't it Scholar that Google was called? Yeah.
It is Scholar.
Yeah.
So I will make sure to put links to all those on the podcast so people can easily get in touch with you or find these great resources.
Wonderful.
Now, with that, Simon, I want to thank you for taking the time today to talk to us about this. I certainly learned more about motor current signature analysis. I'm sure our listeners did as well. So thank you very much.
You're welcome, James. Thanks for the opportunity, and I'll continue to listen to your podcast. Thank you for making it.
Thank you. I would like to thank you for listening and remind you that you can always find out more on maintenance, reliability, and asset management at www.iridicio.com and by following our blog. The Rooted in Reliability podcast is a proud member of the Reliability.fm network. I'd like to ask you to please rate and review this podcast on iTunes or Stitcher. It ensures the podcast stays relevant and is easy to find by like-minded professionals. It is only with your ratings and reviews that the Rooted in Reliability podcast can continue to grow. I thank you for providing this small but critical support. We'll see you next week when we dive into another burning topic with Rooted in Reliability, your plant performance podcast.